Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 39, and can be found on page 25 of your pew Bibles. Listen to the word of God. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and prophets. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Devin. Thank you, Ryan, for reading the scripture passages today. I really do like confirmation. I get a fancy flower, and it's not often I get to wear boutonnieres, so that's very fun. It's also great preaching multiple weeks in a row because, as often happens, you have to end up eating your words a little bit. Last week, I talked about bitter feelings I had towards those who are moving forward into confident and great paths. But this week, it's completely different, and I am full of nothing but joy and pride for this confirmation class, these young adults who are moving confidently forward into a new stage in their life. It's very exciting, so I want to say congratulations to the class. Thank you for being a really fun class. They've done a great job with me, and they did a great job with the service. We went through the standard bulletin that we get every week, and we picked. I said, okay, we can be a little creative here, not too creative, but a little creative. So we made some changes. We wanted to find the proper balance between the importance of the Protestant tradition and the familiarity we have with our bulletin. But we also wanted to get us all thinking outside of the realms of tradition and familiarity. And the main place we decided to do this is the prayer of confession. And that's coming up in a little bit. You might have noticed its absence in the beginning. Usually it comes right after the call to worship. But now it's coming after the sermon. And every week we say the prayer of confession together. And sometimes, though, and maybe most times, I fear that we don't always realize what we are saying or the significance it has for our lives. It is meant to be a moment of communal observation of sin. And this is an essential component to the Protestant tradition. But so often I feel the communal words, they don't resonate with us. They're either confusing or they don't relate to our daily lives, or we just get caught up in the actual saying of it out loud and we don't realize what we are actually doing. It's a very meaningful part of our lives to reflect on moments where we are at fault or wrong or right or blessed. And these are important parts of our lives, thinking about these feelings. So today we are going to do an exercise with rocks, and we'll have a little bit more explanation when we actually get to the moment, but it's going to look a lot like when we do communion by intinction, and the ushers will show you how it works. Although they just learned how it works only a few minutes ago. But it is going to look a lot like intinction. You'll go up through the front row will start, and they'll go up through those back doors and then down the side aisle. You'll come forward, and you'll take two stones. There's two glass bowls. One is filled with almost glass gemstones, and the other is filled with river rocks. And there's two stations, so it'll work on both sides. And what we're asking you to do is to take one of each stone, and then you're going to make a second trip. You're not going to go back to your seat. You're going to walk around again. As you come up again to the same station, there's a bucket, an empty bucket. And we're going to ask you to take a moment as you're walking around and use that as sort of a meditative trip to be thinking about, in one hand, something beautiful that you are blessed with. And we all have these extremely rich gifts that we are so fortunate to have. And we ask you to think on that with the stone, whichever stone that resonates with you, whether it be a shiny glass pearl or a smooth river rock. And we ask you to hold that stone and keep it. That's yours. I mean, we ask you to keep it and to remember what it signifies. that rich blessing that each one of us has in our lives. And the other stone that you take, whether it be the glass gemstone or the smooth river stone, think of it as a weight that we carry around with us all the time. And then the second time we come that you come to the front, drop it in the bucket. You don't have to carry that weight anymore. And that's what we wanted. We wanted to have an actual feeling of holding something that has weight. It doesn't have to be the one that's heavier. Just something that represents that weight for you, whether it's maybe you were mean to your brother or sister last week, or maybe you didn't try very hard at something that you had put yourself out for. But drop that weight in the bucket, because we don't have to carry it anymore. And that's what the call to confession is about. It's about us confessing our sins, actually voicing that. But then the most important part, the assurance of pardon, is actually realizing that we don't have to carry that weight anymore. We don't have to carry it because we can drop it in the bucket and Jesus will take care of it for us. So that's what it's going to look like. And that's what we're going to ask you to be thinking about. And Elise is going to share some thoughts with us when that time comes. But now it's my time. So I'm going to share some words about these verses that Devin and Ryan read for us. And it's no coincidence that the two scripture passages we read this morning are two of the most well-known in the Bible. I asked the class which passages they wanted me to reflect on, and they stressed, well, as long as it's as short as possible, that's fine. And I suggested a few, but there wasn't much response, and so I asked them what some of their favorite movies or books or TV shows were. I asked them what are the things that they think about when they think of their favorite creative outlet. And the overwhelming theme was friendship, triumph, love, overcoming hardships. And these are themes we can recognize in all of our favorite, whether it's literature or movies. We can recognize these themes as important to our lives. And those are the things that stay with us and they make us think after we put the book down or after we turn off the movie. And when they mentioned these themes, immediately Jeremiah 29:11 came into my mind. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture, and it's very meaningful for me, especially because it's actually the first passage I remember caring about during my confirmation. I remember when I first read it, I was like, "Oh, wait a minute, that sounds pretty cool. I can get behind that. I like the fact that somebody knows that there are plans for me. That sounds great." It's filled with overflowing optimism for whatever may lay ahead, at whatever journey in our lives we are at. It's reassuring when we are down. It's sort of like a hot drink on a cold day, or maybe a cold lemonade on a hot day, as it might be now. And that's what's amazing about this passage, is it's filled with such optimism. But the most fascinating thing about it to me is that it makes a promise to us despite whatever state our belief is in. It promises plans. And not just any plans, but plans for our direct success. For our benefit, not harm. Plans that are filled with hope looking forward. And this is a large part of what confirmation is about. It's the first step on a journey. We don't jump to full understanding after a confirmation class. I remember on my confirmation day, I was afraid the second I got over to coffee hour, everyone would be like, "Oh, so you got faith. Good. You got it all. You got the whole Bible. Great. Now tell me everything." And I was terrified. But that's not it. It's not how it works. That's not what it's about. The truth is, confirmation is just, this is just the day when we are asked to take the first step on a path. And the journey, it doesn't end today. It lasts a lifetime. Even if we take a break from the path for a while, it's still there. Whether it's next to us or behind us or in front of us, the path doesn't disappear. It's always there the whole time. Being confirmed simply reinforces the idea that this class, they're at an age where they can make informed decisions. Now, confirmation also means something for us as a congregation. We are also responsible for these young adults. We are responsible for challenging them, pushing them to new heights. They are, in the same way, responsible for us. They are a part of this congregation now. They are responsible for how we, as a church, move. Do we move forward? Do we do new things? Do we take new steps? Verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, it tells us something very uplifting and fantastic. But it's also something very basic about our situation as believers. Yes, there are things in our future, and they will be great. And this is something we can always hold on to. But the rest of the verses in this passage, they say that there is so much more that is asked of us than just accepting these future plans. When you search for me with all your heart, then I will let you find me. I will restore your fortunes. Verse 12 starts out, then. It's such a simple word, but it's a complete break. There's a promise, and then there's a then. This is what we have to do. When you search for me with your whole heart, I will then restore your fortunes, maybe your futures as well. Yes, confirmation is the beginning of a journey, but a journey is not a passive action. A journey is something we embark upon. We have to set out on a journey. We have to put one foot in front of the other each day. When you search for me with all your heart. I don't know what the unit of measurement is for hearts. Maybe scientifically it'd be beats per minute, how much blood is actually pumping. But what Jeremiah is talking about here, it's hard to identify. Maybe it's love. Maybe love is the unit of measurement for how much a heart is working. What I do know is that using all of your heart is a big task, that's asking a lot of us. And that is what it takes to have our fortunes maybe restored. Because there are going to be times when our future does not seem clear, where hope does not seem to be in the equation. Remember, the context for this passage in Jeremiah is the Israelites are living in exile. They've been kidnapped. They've been taken to a land that they are not familiar with. And the book of Jeremiah is actually, it's really amazing. Jeremiah is asking those Israelites to make a home in this new place and to actually hope for the future of their captors. And within that context, as prisoners, Jeremiah is saying that the Lord is asking us to seek him with all of our hearts. And here lies the deeper and much more difficult challenge that confirmation poses to these young adults: to continue. By the way, this challenge is not just for them. This is for all of us as well. Because if we feel that we have any more legitimacy just because our path may be a little bit longer right now, then we're just fooling ourselves. The challenge is always to continue, despite exile, despite hardship, despite ridicule. And sorry, but guess what happens in high school? A lot of ridicule. It's a completely new place, and a lot of things are going to change. There's also going to be a lot of pretty awesome things, but definitely some difficult things as well. Things are going to get harder. Eighth grade is such an important phase. This is why I felt so strongly to push confirmation to eighth grade. You're taking on new projects. You've got new roles in leadership. You have so many more responsibilities and expectations placed upon you. You're responsible for real social decisions, like not wearing white socks. It sets the stage for the next 4 years in your lives. You're about to be exposed to a completely new environment, with even more responsibilities and expectations. And this is where Jeremiah is asking you to continue your path. It's not an easy place. He's not pulling any punches. It's not going to be a stroll. But that might sound daunting or intimidating, but there's one last thing I want to tell us all, and it's helpful for me to remember this too, about this path I'm talking about. And it sort of comes when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is. So a lawyer asks him, What is the most important commandment of the law? And Jesus, he didn't really give that much of a revolutionary answer. This was actually sort of an accepted response. And he boils it down to two. He says, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, this is the first line of the Shema. It's very prominent in Jewish tradition. It's not a radical answer. And it's so simple. It's two things. Love God and love your neighbor. It's easy to remember. And it doesn't sound so daunting when you just think about two things. Now, it's very simple, and it's not revolutionary, but what is revolutionary is the way Jesus sees his answer and the way we are meant to see it as well. We have to look at the whole picture of Matthew's gospel to really understand what he's saying. And Matthew's gospel is particularly about Jesus dying for the sins of the world and rising again with the message of new life. And that's when these commandments, loving God above all else and loving your neighbor as yourself, that's when these commandments begin to come into their own, when they are seen not as orders to be obeyed in our own strength, but as invitations and promises to a new way of life, in which little by little, bit by bit, hatred and pride can be left behind, and love can become a reality. So when we are asked to seek God with our whole heart, it isn't as daunting as we might have first thought. There's only two things we have to do. And the best part is we don't even have to do it with our own strength. We can do it with the confidence that Jesus will be working with us, empowering us the whole way. Love God and love our neighbor. And with love as our personal reality, it is easy to seek the one who fills us with love. So when you are asked, what is the greatest thing you learned in confirmation? Sure, you can say, oh, it was just a thing I did for church. Or you can talk about great Bible stories and amazing characters. You can talk about the characters, you know, Esther and Noah and Moses and the characters that shape our idea of Scripture. But the greatest thing about confirmation is it all boils down to a beginning. So we've talked about two passages today, and however much I would love for you to remember these two passages, Jeremiah 29:11 especially, because it's very short and you can memorize it, you don't even really need to remember them. Just remember love of God and love of neighbor. And when we put those two things at the front of our lives, everything will fall into place. For says the Lord, surely I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. So I leave you with this simple charge. Continue on. This is the first day. Continue on. I tried to keep that as short as I could for you guys. Amen.